Do you know what the secret is to keep a baby's skin healthy? The secret is a diaper that doesn't leave skin wet. You've heard me talk about Pampers Swaddlers on our podcast many, many times now, and that's because Pampers Swaddlers is the diaper for healthy baby skin. Pampers Swaddlers absorbs wetness better than the leading value brand and provides up to 100% leak-proof skin protection and up to 0% skin irritation. And if you're a fan of Pampers, you've got to check out their new Pampers Free and Gentle Wipes, which clean better than Huggies Natural Care and are 5 times stronger, so they resist tearing during a diaper change. With Free and Gentle, mess meets its match. And if you're like me and you love saving and getting rewarded for something you gotta buy anyway, like diapers, don't forget to download the Pampers Club app today and earn Pampers Cash. You can redeem your Pampers Cash for exclusive Pampers coupon savings and rewards. Try Swaddlers with new Pampers Free and Gentle Wipes for healthy baby skin. For trusted protection, trust Pampers, the number one pediatrician recommended brand.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
Welcome to ABG, Asian Boss Girl, a podcast for the modern day Asian American woman. My name is Helen.
I'm Janet.
I'm Mel.
And I'm engaged.
Here's the episode everyone's been waiting for. 2 weeks ago, our ABG Helen got engaged. We are here today with Helen, obviously, and a very special guest, her fiancé. You first heard his voice on our podcast when we recorded the Yappy episode, episode 30. If you've been following our social media, you already know who he is, Mr. Philip Wang. So we were all just there in Boston to witness Phil propose to Helen, but a lot of our listeners don't know how it happened. So Phil, why don't you walk us through the process?
Oh man, where do you want me to start, I guess?
Why don't we start with when you first...
When I first knew.
Less about the like personal when you knew part and more about when you started actively planning.
Got it. People want to know about the logistics. I get it. Well, first of all, I just had to decide that it needed to happen.
Yes.
Like, okay, it's time to get engaged. But I definitely did know, even at the top of this year, Helen and I kind of talked about, oh yeah, like... It should happen this year just because of this timing of other things, no?
Not it should. We want to.
Yeah. Okay.
Should. Don't shit on yourself.
And I just remember around September realizing, oh my God, there's only 3 months of the year left. Everything went by so fast because of Bopomofo opening, ton of Wong Fu stuff going on, that the year was just like already over. And I was like, oh my God. If I'm going to make this happen, like, I just have to force it into, like, my schedule somehow. I know this doesn't sound romantic at all.
So logistical and not romantic right now.
But when there's just, when there's so much going on, you literally have to just, like, you have to schedule it in. So it was September, and I think the first thing that made me kind of, like, put a flag up was, like, hey, there's this big event coming up, and it was the ISA charity basketball game. So every year for like the last 7 years, we do this charity game through ISA TV, and we get a bunch of like Asian American influencers to play basketball for charity. And I thought, wait a sec, Helen likes public displays of affection.
Wow, that is not my love language.
You like it though. You like when I'm public that about you.
Sure, right? Slight validation.
The complete opposite end of wanting to like hide her is to like propose to her. Yeah, in front of like 500 people, right? And so I was like, okay, there's gonna be a ton of our friends there for the basketball game, and we had this audience. So my first thought actually was, should I do this at the basketball game?
Phil actually called Mel and myself.
Right.
Were we the first people you consulted with about this idea?
Yeah, so...
Oh!
You guys were. So here's the thing, because I had this other idea of... I also knew that you guys were planning to go to Boston to speak at Boston College for ABG. And I was like, hey, there's another strategy, which is it could be very private and I could propose to her at her childhood home. Like, so I had that idea also, right? And they're just completely opposite ends of the spectrum. I called Mel and Jan, and I called you two first. You guys are the first people to know about this. And I remember texting you guys, and I think when you saw that it was a group text of just you two and me, I think you said you already knew,
I knew, but it's funny because, like, so Jan and I were both at work when we got the text message, and I think sometimes, like, there's two thoughts that went through my mind. One, oh crap, I think Phil wants to talk about something, like, maybe about ABG. That's one thought. And the second thought, I was like, I think I messaged Janet privately. I was like, oh my God, I think Phil texted us. I think this is this is it.
I had an inkling. And then, Phil, the way you started out the phone call was, I think you guys know what this is about.
Oh, I forget what I said. I thought I just said, like, hey, are you guys free?
Oh, wow. I'm just hearing about this now.
Oh, you didn't know?
Yeah.
I was actually here at the One for Us. We're recording at the One for Us today. But I went out to the parking lot, so no one here knew. Mm. And here's a crazy thing. This was only 1 week before the game.
Yes, I remember that.
And you had not bought a ring or anything yet.
So that was my red flag. I was like, do you have a ring? And he's like, oh, you know, I'll just go to the jeweler this week. And I was like, Phil, that's not how it works.
That's not how it works. Well, thank you, ladies.
Okay, well, hold on. I asked you guys, okay, I presented the cases for both, right? Mm-hmm. One is very, like, grand and spectacular, and the other is like private and personal and meaningful. But then, yes, if it was going to be the basketball game, I only had 1 week. And I was thinking, you know what? Nothing is impossible, right? Like, if I really wanted to, I could just buy the most expensive plane tickets, get her family out here. I could just, you know, you can get a ring. You can, you know, you can find a great ring, whatever, and just figure it out or something. I don't know. I hadn't really worked it out. But
that
I just,
is such like a man thought.
We did take the time to walk through the pros and cons of both ideas.
Yeah.
There was something about like the spontaneity and the fact that you guys would be around all of your friends from that community that we knew would be something pretty special that you would like. But then on the other hand, it was like, okay, let's think long term. You know, when you guys are married and you have children and you tell them about the story of how you got engaged, which would be more meaningful?
And I also thought of, like, you know, as a social media person, it's like, oh, the photos, like, they're both going to be sweaty in their jerseys. And like, I don't think Helen would be like, yes, I do. And like, all this sweat, you know.
And then the ring like slips off my finger because I'm so sweaty.
Versus like Boston, I feel like you'd be, and I know you, we'll be put together and like, be, you know, be nice.
It was a very, very good choice.
Right. So I think even after that call, I was still considering. So I think it was just like maybe a couple days later. So I had lost another 2 days. And I was like, you know, this is not going to happen, or this is not the best way to go about it. So I texted you guys and I said, okay, it's going to be the Boston one. So that was the date now. In retrospect, so glad, just because even at the game, yeah, like we were super tired and sweaty. I had the game-winning shot, you know, like it was good. It was about me that game. No, I'm just kidding. But can you imagine, like, at the end, like everyone's all hyped up, and I was like, oh, guys, stop, yeah. And then bring it to the middle.
Like, let me make it more about me after the game-winning shot.
But wouldn't that have been amazing to just everyone's like would be cheering? They would know.
I have other opinions on that.
Right? Yeah.
You don't think so? No, because when he was presenting the idea to us, I could tell Jan and I were like, for me, like, I think it's great to have a public display of a, like, you know, of a proposal, but I'm like, just Boston means so much to you. I'm like, I know, like, that is a story to keep and tell. And, like, I don't know. I feel like it's a little bit more intimate. And, like, I think for me, when I thought of the proposing in the basketball game, I was like, it feels very, like, kind of more college.
Like a promposal kind of thing.
Kind of like a prom thing versus, like, I want to marry
you. But at the same time, there's tons of people that propose at, like, sporting events and stuff. That's true. Like, on the Jumbotron and stuff. I also started feeling like it felt a little bit, like, self-serving. Like, I was like, oh, I want to make it, like, I want everyone to see this, you know? Like, so I'm glad we didn't do it. But now we had their event was on November 14th. So I was like, okay, I now have a month and a half.
You know, the Boston event was later in the year. So as we got closer and closer to the end of the year, she might have more suspicion.
So I thought she would be getting angrier and angrier.
Well, no,
or like antsy, right?
Yeah. The thing is that, like, I never pushed you on an engagement,
even though
what are you talking about? Okay, no, I didn't. Because I knew you had Bokumofo. You opened up a cafe this year, and then you had, like, Wong Fu stuff. You had so much going on. In my mind, I was like, okay, I'm not going to pressure him when he's ready. That's fine whenever he's ready, but it better be within this year.
So that was the other thing we were saying, is that if we did Boston, it would be closer to the end of the year, which is actually closer to the deadline.
But I know myself, I knew that if I started thinking about it, I would start looking for, like, okay, so when's it gonna be? And I'd start, like, analyzing every move and, like, oh, I think he's, like, leaving, like, the house today, not going to work, he's probably gonna go buy the ring, or, like, start creating, like, stories in my mind and trying to figure out when it would be. So I just try to, like, clear it all from my headspace to be like, when he's ready, he's gonna do it. I don't know where, I don't know when, I'm not gonna anticipate.
Yeah. Cool. Oh, I'm glad you trusted the process.
Yeah, I did.
Because I was really stressed out the whole time. And if I knew that you were, like, breathing down my neck, like, that wouldn't have helped. But, like, I knew that I had, a month and a half now. And so it's kind of funny. Like, with that, I still procrastinated. I was like, oh, I got a month and a half. And then, like, another 2 weeks passed without me doing anything. And I was like, oh, shit. Like, so I think, like, the first thing that I did was actually, after I decided, okay, it's going to be this time, I got some of the guys together, like my close guy friends. That was the night that I sat them down. So it was like a lot of guys from like Wong Fu, all the Wong Fu guys. Eric, Dan was there.
I was wondering why you guys were getting dinner.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
So I wanted to let them know, like, I wanted them to be the first to know.
Cute.
And then also because they're the most intertwined in my life, I wanted them to be like in on it so that they can also help me if I needed the help.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Especially like the Wong Fu team, like, if I wasn't going to be at the office, I wanted them to know it's not because I'm slacking. I'm doing things, right? Yeah. Like ring shopping, for example. So around like mid-October, so only a month away, is when I was like, oh, shoot, the ring process needs to start.
Yeah.
So I talked to like some other friends and they're like, oh, yeah, it took me like 3 months. My cousin Henry, he's like, yeah, it took me like 6 months. I'm like, what the fuck? I was freaking out. But I really thought like ultimately you have to find it and then... And then you just buy it, like, right? It's like, it's not like...
Well, there are multiple things that go into it, right? So when we had that call with Mel, me, and Phil, we agreed that Mel and I would be in charge of kind of figuring out her style preference.
Exactly.
And that Phil would be in charge of more of the logistics of how to get the ring.
And so you guys were actually critical in that because we started planning out when you guys could get her to like a ring shop or ring store or whatever, jewelry store, and just at least get her taste of things, right?
Yeah.
And I do remember you also always saying that you loved your sister's ring.
Mm-hmm. I actually picked out her ring. We have like very similar tastes, so I picked out the ring I wanted.
So when you guys went on your ABG retreat, you guys planned out this like, hey, let's go. Well, how did it
Mel
go?
Mel and I were like texting on the side and we were like, well, how do we not make this obvious? Like, let's just all go ring shopping?
I mean, it seemed a little obvious. It seemed a little pushy because we were like, oh, we're going to go on a retreat. We're going to be out on the west side and there's a lot of cute stores. We were on a, what's it called?
Marina Del Rey
area. Mel, you were kind of pushing the, let's go check out a ring shop. And I was like, okay, well, obviously it's probably because of you know, anticipating an engagement. So wait, I think
you didn't kind of know.
I mean, a little bit, because I knew, like, it was about time and, like, you were kind of pushing it. I know you love, like, mm-hmm. wedding shopping and, like, thinking about dresses and all of that, but it's part of the process. So I was like, okay, I accept it.
So I was trying to avoid that because I was trying to say, okay, how can we make it, like, an ABG thing? Like, you guys are getting content for, you know, wedding things. You guys have already talked about it before, right? This was definitely a choice also about not going ring shopping with you. So I know, like, a lot of couples, they're very open about, you know,
the type of ring,
the proposal, they go wedding shopping together. Yeah. That's very common. But I really, really, really wanted to surprise Helen, like, out of nowhere. And when I thought about having to take her to a ring shop, to me, like, that just completely took away the surprise aspect. Yeah. And then it just became a lot like, oh, I don't know when he's going to do it. But like, I really wanted to just, like, completely blindside.
Which you did.
It was really helpful. Even if you had, like, an inkling of an idea.
Very
or whatever,
small
it,
inkling.
It wasn't as in your face of like, hey, Helen, let's go ring shopping.
But how was it then? So when we went to Tiffany's, like, I tried on the ring that I thought I wanted, which ended up being the ring that I do want. And I remember trying it on. And for some reason, the ones that Tiffany's had, they only had like one small glass case for it. So there weren't that many options. And when I put it on, I was like, I don't know if I want this round, you know, thin band.
Okay, so I could walk you through that process. I remember I was like, Janet, we have to make sure we give Phil what Helen wants in terms of what size, all these different things. And so we're like trying to gauge Helen. So we kind of had a certain idea. She talked about her sister, helping her sister out with the cut, the clarity. So we're like, okay, we kind of have an idea what she wants there, but the style was difficult. So we're like, hey, let's go to Tiffany's. They're known for engagement rings, whatever, right? We walk in. I thought this would be the moment we could find the ring for her. No. The selections they had there were just not like, they're just very different this time around. So when Helen was trying the ones she wanted on, she didn't like any of it. I'm like, oh.
Well, it was kind of like, yeah, maybe this or maybe that. And fairly so, because I think, you know, we were all looking at the styles and kind of having a hard time deciding. But then we walked away and we were like, well, shit, then what is it?
Yeah. Oh.
So we walked away actually not really knowing what she wanted or what looked
good. Well, there
wasn't
like a strong, very specific style, but we knew that she wanted something more circular. We knew that the size or the carat was more important over the clarity. And we did also get her ring size.
I didn't even get my ring size. The lady just said like, oh, I think you're about A. And then she gave like a
range. That was like one of the things that we knew we needed to get. So when she asked it, we were like, check. Okay, one of the five things off the list.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like this size like was like 4 to 5. Like, oh, in between here, she's about. And that's what you took away.
No, the text that you guys gave me afterwards, actually, I thought was pretty comprehensive. So I thought you guys did a great job. I was like, okay. Because
I want to see that text.
No, because there's essentially the four C's, right? And then and the ring size. To me, that was like all like I really needed to get from you guys. Because at the end of the day, like you did choose a very simple style. Like if you wanted like the whole, like the halo or different like special
settings.
Yeah,
I knew
or whatever,
I didn't.
So like that was really nice. That actually kept it pretty simple for me, so that when I went into the jeweler, it really was just about deciding the stone. Mm-hmm. So you actually made it pretty easy for me.
No, you're welcome.
Yeah, thank you. No, thank you. Welcome, girl. Oh my God. Please.
Girl.
No, so to me, it was just about finding the stone, right? Mm-hmm. So on my side, I started doing research and I was like, okay, where do I even start? YouTube.
YouTubed my ring?
No, I YouTubed like engagement ring, like basics, what you should look for, what you should be wary of, all these things.
And they're like, think about it 6 months in advance. Yeah.
So I got a crash course in things, and then I called a good friend. I called Kihong, actually.
Oh, okay.
Because I remember he was always telling me, hey, when you are ready, like, let me know. I got a really good good girl. And she was great. He gave me a contact. And she actually, I emailed her first and she didn't respond for like 3 days. And I was like really worried. I'm like, shoot, I have no leads. But she finally got back. I met up with her, amazing woman. Her name's Michelle. She was super nice, very welcoming. And so made it very simple, actually. So I just went in, told her my budget. And then I gave her like the specs that you guys gave me. And so she brought out a couple things. To be honest, like before the diamond buying process, I was always kind of like roll my eyes, like, oh, this, I have to go through this or whatever. Like this industry is so flawed and everything. But like, as soon as I saw it, I'm like, oh, me like you. I was like, I get it now. Like, I mean,
I want one.
It's a hard feeling. Like,
yeah. Do you want me to get you a diamond?
No, I definitely don't. We don't need that. But I mean, they're beautiful. They really are beautiful, right? So grand total, I actually went to go see her only 4 times. So going back to what I was saying about getting it done in a week, technically it's possible. Like I only went four
but only four because times. I'm not very specific about what I want, so just sure. The stone, just sure. You know, so the glad four prongs.
So glad you're basic. Yeah,
wow.
I'm just kidding.
She's gonna give that ring back right now. Yeah.
No, but what's funny is like after that first day, so the first day was just me getting my feet wet. And she still had other questions that I was like, oh, I don't have answers to this, right? So for example, yeah, how many prongs, how thick? I know you want a thin band, but I didn't know. They're still like thin and then there's super
very thin.
Very thin,
there, yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Second time I went was a week later and I kind of wanted to narrow down the ones that I wanted. So she just had like a bunch that she was just showing me, right? And the second time I kind of decided, okay, I think it's going to be within these like 4 or 5. Third time I brought Janet and Mel. Because I wanted them to see it and to give me their opinions. Because I started like second guessing myself because there's so many variables, you know, that affect the price. And I just wanted to make sure that I was making the best choice. So when they came, very, very helpful. I thought it was like a lot of fun to have you guys there.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think it worked out because like usually Jen and I work 9 to 5 and we had to go during a weekday. And luckily, we're trying to schedule that out because usually we're at the office. But for me, I happened to just be working from home that day. So it worked that I could go with Phil and Janet to look at the rings. I think, Jen, you also had to move things around.
You were on
around,
lunch break
right?
Or something, right? Or...
Well, I have work from home one day a week. So we just synced our days.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
But that was actually the day that we had an ABG meeting. And we have an ABG Facebook Messenger group, right? So we were also trying to figure out, like, so I was like messaging Mel on the side. And then we're like, we need to make sure that Helen doesn't, like, she's going to think it's strange if you were just like at my place. Or like, so we had to coordinate a way to like make sure that it wasn't obvious that we were both meeting up earlier together and then meeting up with Phil to go to
actually the whole communication aspect of it. I was so worried because I think we've all been there where you accidentally text the wrong group, right? And if you're overlapping talking to the same people in different threads, like I was so nervous. So once we got closer, I told them, hey, we need like a code word that you just start with just to like let people know that proposal texts are coming.
Yeah.
So
what's the code word?
So the code word I came up with, was it like yoga?
With yoga. Yeah.
Yoga.
Well,
Janet.
Well, just the text with the three of us.
Yeah. So in case like you saw, or in case like, I don't know, just it had to be something that was neutral, right?
So
that
it would like be the title of the text group.
Yeah.
Like, if I saw yoga on your group chat, I'd be like, huh?
Yeah. Or maybe like I was texting you like something I found. Like it was a word that could have a story behind it, like an alibi, right?
Yeah. And like people underestimate how many group chats are actually in, and Helen's always in it.
Yeah.
And it got really confusing towards the day of the engagement, like those moments leading up to it.
Because I started bringing in Taylor.
There's so many.
Yeah, and everyone else, yeah.
But before we go there, let's finish up the ring process.
Oh, sorry, yeah.
So we go with Phil to check out the rings, and I'm pretty sure you guys know this. Helen and Janet know this about me. I literally send them engagement rings all the time. So this moment was kind of like, oh, I gotta look at diamonds.
I was like, let me try it.
Let me try this on. And it's really interesting because then so we go to this ring shop. The lady was super nice, and she brings out these three diamonds. And honestly, you can't really tell the difference.
Yeah.
Up close, like the clarity and all that stuff. But then there are different sizes, and we're like not trying to play around which setting would be the best for Helen. Like, so then we're trying on different prongs, different band sizes. We're deciding between two of them. And I think the one we chose, or we ended up going with Phil, is because I was joking around. I was like, oh, Helen's such a size queen. We should just get the biggest
size
one.
Size queen! We did end up going with the bigger one for that. Yeah. I mean, it's so slight, right? And it's you can't really tell unless they're like next to each other. But we were like, we went back and forth maybe like 15, 20 minutes of like, initially it was going to be the other one. And then, but then we ended up going with the bigger one.
Was it deciding between clarity and size?
Yes.
I see. But and you couldn't tell for the clarity or you could?
We felt like the trade-off was so slight that the size was like a more
It was clarity value. And color.
And color. Okay.
And color, And color is one of those things where you can't really tell unless you see a diamond next to the other diamond.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And what surprised me during the process was that, so we're deciding between two of the different sizes. The one we went with, which was the biggest one, is actually cheaper than the one that was smaller, right?
I think clarity
is usually more expensive than carat.
Yeah.
Mm. Or no, or in terms of like
going up the scale.
Yeah, like in terms of how it affects the price.
Yeah.
I think clarity definitely clarity has a bigger effect than I think color. Actually, I'm not sure.
Yeah, I already forgot. Yeah. Like there's so many variables.
Even with the setting of the four prongs, there's like a halo part of it, but we all decided not to give her that little halo underneath the ring because we knew Helen was very simple.
Yeah.
And wanted to like have the showcase.
It's
be
more
on
classic.
The rock.
Yeah. I do really like the minimal appearance of it because it is just the four prongs holding up the stone.
Yeah. The big stone.
So after we decided, that was actually a big day. We decided there and I negotiated like the payment with her and everything. And so she had to set the stone. So that was like, I had to wait for that. So she's like, all right, it'll take like, you know, a few days.
5 months.
So I was like, so fast. She's like, yeah, I can get this done, you know, like in a few days. I'm like, great,
Asians, man, they know how to do it.
Yeah. Two other times I went in to drop off the payments. And once I had the ring, like that was like the biggest relief because I feel like none of this happens without the ring, right? And it's crazy because like the proposal happened on Friday. I was flying out on Thursday and I got the ring on Tuesday.
Oh my gosh. I know. So you had no time to like feel like you had to hide it from me.
I had
That's
a day
probably
and a half.
Better.
I had
Otherwise,
a day and a half.
You
yeah.
have to.
But even that day and a half, I felt like when people say, oh, it's burning a hole in my pocket, I really felt that.
Mm.
Luckily, it was only like a day and a half, but like I just kept it in my back. But I didn't leave it anywhere. Like I didn't want to leave it at home. I just always had my backpack on me.
Did you ever leave your backpack anywhere?
Never, no. I literally lived with that backpack.
Like when you went to the cafe, for example, to work at the cafe, did you put your backpack just in the back somewhere? Because you couldn't hold it with you, carry it with you as you're serving
people. Right, no, but I put
people.
It, like, in a very safe part of the bag.
Oh,
but
man, I'd be scared about that.
Do you know how paranoid Phil was, though, with, like, any type of communication with the ring in general? He literally, when he finally got the ring, he texted Jan and I was like, check your email. And then I go to my email, and he uploaded a photo to our Google Drive to send us email of the photo of the ring. I'm just like, okay, this is, like, so many layers.
Yeah, and then I deleted it right away.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah, so it was just all on the Google Doc. But anyways, while this was all happening, this is just the ring side. While this is happening, there's the logistics of the actual event, right? Of the actual proposal. So I talked to Wes and Taylor maybe 2.5 weeks prior and asked them if they would be willing to come out. I would fly them out and everything to capture the moment. And they were very happy and very honored. So I had to buy the plane tickets. And then we had to figure out housing situation. So Eric also decided to hop on to help out too. So we were looking for hotels. And even the hotels, we didn't get until like a couple days
there was coordinating because we were staying at Sonder, which was through my friend, and then we were trying to go back and forth through Tina Larjohan with the guys, but then he was like, Helen's gonna suspect if the three of you like are getting this huge place. So it was like a little bit of back and forth.
Because we wanted it to be that, you know, you guys stayed by yourselves for like that first night, and then after the proposal we could all stay together and it's like a fun whatever fun house. But no, it didn't work out. I also was hoping that I would get like discounts from your mom because she works at the hotel. So that was another thing I had to ask, like, your parents. So this whole time, like, I was organizing the travel, all this stuff, but I hadn't asked your parents yet. No. I hadn't told anyone in your family. And so I told your sister 1 week before I was in Boston. And I asked her, hey, should I tell your parents too? Because you guys talk so much.
Yeah.
Every morning your mom is like sending you WeChats and everything, right? And I was just like, I don't know if your mom can
keep it a secret,
right? Or even just the fact that I'm just going to Boston. Like, because that, I feel like, would already give it away, right?
Yeah.
So Annie actually told me, she's like, no, just come the day before and ask, and then they'll be fine. They'll be happy.
They're super chill.
So that took another weight off my back. So everything was kind of falling into place. And I was like, okay, we just got to get there. But there's another challenge is that since you don't know that I was going to go, there was a full day that Helen had to believe that I was still in LA.
Mm-hmm.
And she was in Boston, and we had this 3-hour time difference. And so Helen is the type of person, when we're not together or we're traveling, we like to communicate a lot, and she often wants to FaceTime. or she like at least wants like a selfie to, or we say hi to each other, right? And like that's normal stuff.
Really?
Okay. No precarious pictures.
No. Yeah, it's not like checking in. It's more just like it's just more like we miss each other, right? Yeah, so I was like, okay, if I'm gonna be in Boston, I need to have assets essentially to send to her so that it looks like I'm still in LA. That will truly sell the fact that I'm not anywhere that I shouldn't be, right? And it's so hard. Like Helen and I, our lives are so intertwined, right? Yeah. And I was hoping and counting on the fact that she'd just be busy with, you know, you ladies, like with the event and everything, and that kind of helped out. But like,
wait, that picture when I sent you a photo of us on the plane because we flew red eye. So I mean, you were still in LA.
I was still in
LA,
yeah.
So that was an actual photo of you
right.
sleeping.
So you guys flew out. You guys flew out at 10 p.m. on Wednesday.
Yes.
But then I flew out literally 8 hours later at 6 a.m.
Oh wow, I didn't know.
On Thursday, so I wasn't even that far behind you.
Yeah.
So I took some pictures of myself at the cafe like 2 days prior. And then I even took a video that was like, hey, good luck at the event today.
Oh my gosh.
So that when I sent it to you, you would think that I was
sending
it that
time. That's funny because I was texting Philip and I was like, I'm so nervous for this event. Like,
on the day of the event, yeah.
Yeah, on the day of the event. And then he sent me that video of him at the cafe that was like, you're going to do fine, babe. You're amazing. I was like, oh, that's cute.
It felt very...
That's a good response.
It felt very like, you know...
He anticipated that you would want.
Yeah. I knew you so well. I was in Boston when I sent that. Here's where I went a little... even more careful. You know when you send a photo, if you save it, the metadata will show you the date that it was taken. Right? So I was really worried that if for some reason she saved it and it's like, oh, why wasn't it on my camera roll right away? Because you know sometimes it saves it to where it was taken. So I was like, okay, like that's going to be a giveaway. So even the pictures I sent her, I took screenshots of the photo on my phone so that it would have a new timestamp. Now.
I like that you think I'm that observant.
Clearly you weren't. We realized
it's more about tech savvy, actually. Yeah, maybe the technical side of it, but
I like that you think that, though. Yeah.
I just, you know, wanted to make sure I covered everything.
It's crazy because, like, on our end, it was like we were seeing the photos come in, and I was just like, please.
Yeah.
That was actually the response you gave me, too. Yeah. You're like, oh my gosh, you guys are so, like, gross.
But in reality, she's like, I can't believe she's falling.
Yeah. Yes. I guess we could kind of talk through, like, how it was going through, like, Janet and, like, in our head.
Yeah.
When you were planning all the logistics with Taylor, Eric, and Wes. So for our end, we're about to, like, board our flight. Mm-hmm. And then at this point, we have a group chat with everyone that's about to go to Boston, which is, like...
Taylor, Wes, Eric... me and then you.
Yes, us. And so we renamed the group chat work chat.
Yeah.
So that way you won't see it. But first of all, I realized how when we're traveling, we're always with each other. And like, I'm next to Helen. She could see my phone. I'm just like, shit. Like, she could look down and be like, why are you guys in a chat? Because Annie's also in that chat.
Yeah. Right? Oh, yeah.
So her sister was also in it. I think there are times when Helen's in the restroom. I look at Janet. I go, shit. Like, are we good? Like, we're kind of freaking out. And she's like, oh my God, Helen's coming back. I was like, okay, she's back. Let's not talk about this anymore.
Well, I think also working out the details of the logistics, we had left a little open because generally when the three of us travel, we don't really set plans. You know, so I felt like it would be a giveaway if we were like, hey, Friday at this time, we're going to meet at this place, right? Mm-hmm. So we just knew generally that on Fridays, we had like a couple hour block. We're like, we need to get her to her childhood home. So I think that was like a thing that was hanging in the back of my mind was like, how are we going to say this or what are we going to do?
Right. And that's the thing. Like in my mind, I was like, just plan something, like figure out a way to just say like, we're going to go at this time. I think on my side, maybe I oversimplified that because I just knew that Helen like wanted to show you guys. Mm-hmm. I knew that if you guys were there, it's your first time there together. She's like, she's going to want to show you her childhood home.
Yeah.
But then I guess
you guys planted that seed into my mind of like, I want to see, because you guys, I always talk about it during our like speaking engagements. And so that's when you guys were like, I want to at some point see it.
So I was trying to like give you guys ideas of like, hey, why don't you guys make it like an ABG thing? Like where, you know, ABG visits the hometowns of like, you know, each of us. So we're in Boston. We're never going to be here again. So let's make sure we go get content. I was trying to use ABG as the way to get there.
We all decided, Phil at this point knew he was going to propose to Helen at her childhood home. Cool. So we had Friday open and Saturday open in Boston. So we're like, okay, that should be easy just to push Helen to the house. No. We all found out later. Helen has a dentist appointment on that Friday. And we're like, oh, shit. Like,
you didn't tell anyone. Why'd you tell anyone?
No, I did. I told you ladies that.
You told us like literally two days before. Yeah.
Because we had no plans. So my family lives in Quincy, and then our Sonder was going to be a little bit closer to like downtown.
Yeah.
And
30 minutes away.
Yeah, 30 minutes away. And so I already knew that like my dentist, which is still in Boston, is in that area, and that we had no plans. So in my mind, I was just like, oh yeah, I'm going to drop you guys off at Copley. Because you also said you can hang out with your family, whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
Like Mel and Janet, you guys were like, we can walk around and take care of ourselves. So in my mind, I was like, okay, you guys can take care of yourselves, walk around Copley while I go to my dentist.
I just couldn't believe that I kept asking them, I'm like, well, why is she going to a dentist appointment when you guys are here? Like, you should be hosting them. Like, you guys should have all these plans. And I was just like, why is she going to
a dentist? No, I think it's because you guys were like, oh, we can walk around whenever we want to.
Which is true. Right. You're pretty self-sufficient.
So basically, like, you didn't feel like you needed to go to the house at that time on that day.
Yeah. No, not at all.
I think that was what was true. Because, like, we couldn't think of a way to get to be like, oh, we have to go at this time. Because we said we want to visit your childhood home. And that actually started planning about a month before it happened. I knew you'd want to show it, but I wanted to make sure that we showed eagerness before it happened so that it made sense when we were there that we really wanted to go. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I was like, how do we tell her like 2 p.m. we have to be at your childhood home? Yeah. Or like, can we visit your childhood home? At, you know, I think that's why we kind of forcing like, we'll do it Friday, sometime Friday.
Yeah.
And then let it more like formalize as we got closer. And then even with the dentist appointment though, so we're like, okay, well, at least the dentist is close to her childhood home. And then it was like trying to figure out then like how to get her from the dentist.
Right. But that was actually the issue though, because I think that's when I started freaking out because like, I was telling Helen, I was like, hey, like, you know, Boston, everything seems pretty close. Like, okay, Copley is, okay, 20 minutes away. And I was telling her, like, why don't we just go to, let's try to jam-pack everything in one day, Boston. She's like, that makes no sense, though, because Copley and my dentist are in the same area. I want to spend all day here. And then back in my mind, I was like, well, I need to get you to the fucking house. Yeah. So how am I going to do that? So that was the stressful part of the whole planning thing. Right. In our flight, when we landed in Boston, I kept looking at Jan. I go, what do we do?
Yeah.
I don't know how to get
hilarious.
Her.
And that's where Annie came in clutch. Because since you hadn't seen your parents, since you had landed and before the event, like Annie used meeting mom as like the way to say, hey, you guys, we should have lunch, you know, around this area.
I thought it was a little weird. I was like, my mom's gonna meet us out there. Okay, sure.
Well, because Annie said that Tyler had a dentist appointment.
Yeah,
yeah.
In that area.
Yeah, yeah.
So even Tyler helped out. So thanks, Tyler.
Oh my gosh.
Have you ladies ever had a UTI? For those who don't know, a UTI is an infection in your urinary tract. They aren't STDs, but can have some of the same symptoms. They're incredibly uncomfortable, and when you have one, all you can think about is getting treatment stat. Luckily, there's ScanWell Health. It's the only at-home UTI test with same-day treatment options. You'll know if you have a UTI in 2 minutes and can connect with a healthcare provider who can prescribe treatment immediately. All you need is the app and their test kit. Some studies estimate that over half of all women experience UTIs, so if you don't suffer from them, you probably know someone who does. Using ScanWell is so easy. No crazy emergency room bills, you don't need insurance, and the test doesn't expire for 2 years, so you can keep it in your medicine cabinet for those just-in-case moments. ScanWell is the same test used in hospitals and emergency rooms and offers the same accuracy as a test you'd take in your doctor's office. Normally, the tests cost $15, but ABG listeners can get the test kit for free. Just pay for shipping. Open up your browser and type in scanwellhealth.com/ABG to order your free test kit. That's scanwellhealth.com/ABG.
Do you know what the secret is to keep a baby's skin healthy? The secret is a diaper that doesn't leave skin wet. You've heard me talk about Pampers Swaddlers on our podcast many, many times now, and that's because Pampers Swaddlers is the diaper for healthy baby skin. Pampers Swaddlers absorbs wetness better than the leading value brand and provides up to 100% leak-proof skin protection and up to 0% skin irritation. And if you're a fan of Pampers, you've got to check out their new Pampers Free and Gentle Wipes, which clean better than Huggies Natural Care and are 5 times stronger, so they resist tearing during a diaper change. With Free and Gentle, mess meets its match. And if you're like me and you love saving and getting rewarded for something you gotta buy anyway, like diapers, don't forget to download the Pampers Club app today and earn Pampers Cash. You can redeem your Pampers Cash for exclusive Pampers coupon savings and rewards. Try Swaddlers with new Pampers Free and Gentle Wipes for healthy baby skin. For trusted protection, trust Pampers, the number one pediatrician recommended brand.
In 10 days, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time. them in my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
All right, so yeah, the night event we spoke at Boston College was amazing. And then I remember the text messages were coming through and Taylor is texting me saying, "Can I hop on a call with you?" And I'm like, "Okay, well, shit. Let me figure this out real quick." So we go back to our Sonder and like Helen and Janet go pick up wine. Perfect. So I go back to the
Oh, is that why you went back? You didn't come out with us?
Well, also I was tired. But okay. Luckily you guys were like picking up wine and then Taylor goes, "Can you FaceTime?" So I FaceTime. And then I'm talking to Phil and Taylor now and they're walking me through this whole like grand plan for the next day of how they're going to propose to you. They're like, "Mel, we need you to come here at this time. This is the photo." Like they pretty much sent over maps to me of where to place you. Wow. What time.
Overheads. We drew overheads using Google satellite images.
So at this point it's like, okay, plan of attack. What's going to happen? And they hang up and then you guys come back and at this point Helen is like showing me the text message with Phil that he like sends over like, "Oh, hey, I'm at the cafe." And I'm just like, "No, he's not." You know? And then so that was the end of that day. And the next day we knew it was D-Day.
Yeah.
D-Day.
And the reason why we needed so these maps is because the area you grew up in is not just like, "Oh, go to this house address." Mm-hmm. You know, like it's a parking lot that's shared with like a lot of buildings. There's multiple alleyways to get to it. Mm-hmm. If you went through a different alleyway, you would see us. So we had to make sure you came through certain points
of
entry.
Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
But so on my side, we went to bed, I think, pretty sure that as long as we went through this plan, everything's fine. But on my side, I'm still trying to pretend like I'm in LA. Mm-hmm. And so I'm 3 hours behind you, right? But I'm tired. I need to sleep. So how would it make sense that if you're going to bed at 1 o'clock, right? Or let's say midnight, right? And it's 9 o'clock for me. Why would I be out of communication with you for the next...
So early.
Right? So I did a couple of things. First, I said, okay, we're meeting one of our employees after Bopomofo closes to talk some business or whatever. So that would buy me a couple hours into not communicating. And then I put my alarm for 6 a.m. Boston time to wake up to text you to say, "Hey, it was a long night. I'm going to sleep at 3 a.m., right?
LA time, yeah.
LA time. So unfortunately, I didn't wake up in time. It was 6:45 or something. I finally woke up. And for some freaking reason, you were awake and you texted, "Why didn't you text me last night? Like, where'd you go? Or like, are you okay?" Right.
And since because I thought it was 3 a.m. your time and you were still out.
And usually I would say goodnight or something.
Yeah.
Right?
So I was worried.
And so you were so worried actually that you also texted Eric because you knew that I went out with Eric because it was both Mofo business. And so I saw you text both me and Eric and I was like, "Fuck, Eric." So I woke Eric up. I said, "Eric, you need to wake up right now. It's technically almost 4 a.m.
LA time.
You need to wake up as if you were getting up to pee or something. I don't know." And you saw Helen's worry text and say, "Hey, what's up?" And you had to act non, like, totally like, what's going on? As if you didn't know what's going on, right?
Yeah.
And so I said, "Eric, you need to say that Phil's phone got water damage last night. And that's why he couldn't text you when he got home." So then later my story could be, "Oh, I got home, put it in some rice, and then while I was waiting, I fell asleep." But then I was thinking, wait, technically I could be on iMessage on my laptop, or I could GChat you to let you know everything's okay.
Yeah.
So I was banking on the fact that I just passed out. But her being the worried girlfriend so much, even though Eric said, like, "I'm sure he got home safe," she was still like, "Hey, I'm really worried, like, please text me as soon as you get this." And I'm awake at this time. I'm like, "Oh my God." Like, it's like paining me. I'm like, God.
Because when he said, "I'm sure he got home safe," I was like, "Oh my gosh, what, are you driving home at 4 a.m.? Like, how does he know you got home safe if he can't text you?"
Right.
So I was worried that on the drive home, like maybe something happened.
Right. So I pushed it a little bit, like you know, a couple hours or whatever. So I finally did text you.
I just fell asleep. I'm like, fuck it. He's probably fine.
Yeah. So I finally did text her. I'm like, "Oh, sorry, everything is okay now." And I used GChat so that it would come off as like I was using my laptop. But then I said I had to go somewhere for Bopomofo, so I couldn't talk to you, or I had a meeting. So that was the last communication I had with her. So I was like, okay, I think I'm set. She thinks I'm in LA. Everything's fine. But I was really on the way to her childhood home. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you guys were already on the way to the dentist. Yep. So at this point, it's like crunch time. Like, it's getting closer mm-hmm. and closer. And things look like they're going to be okay.
Yep.
Your dentist was already going. You guys knew where to go.
While she was on her dentist break, Mel and I went, we like strategically walked far away from the office and found a place for coffee so that we could FaceTime with Taylor and the guys buy time, but then also to get like a live video of the location, because we were looking, right. We reviewed the maps and we needed to like kind of touch base again to make sure everyone was on the same page.
That's when Wes would send me the text messages like, this is a chapstick you need to position Helen at for the photo. I was like, okay, cool.
So there were markers on the ground.
Yeah, exactly.
Like where to stand.
And I think at this point, we're like, okay, I think it's game time. I think we're ready to go. Annie knows what to do. So the plan was, when Helen's done with the dentist, we'll go on the lift. And in the lift, we'll text Annie. And that's when Annie would tell Helen, hey, I'm running 30 minutes behind to the restaurant, which is like conveniently located 2 blocks away from the house. And she'll say, hey, why don't you guys walk around while you wait for Tyler and I? Perfect. This is how it's going to work. And so me and Janet obviously were nervous. And I think we're at like a shoe store. And then Helen texts us saying, I'm done. Where are you guys? Yeah. And I'm like, well, let's wait 5 minutes. I'm gonna make sure like we're busy or something. And then she ends up calling Janet.
Yeah, we were trying to stall at this point to make it, I think, just the timing. I don't remember.
And just exactly feel real.
Yeah. But yeah, through texting. And then you called. And then I was like, hello. And you're like, oh, so funny. I ran into my cousin. I was like, whoa, what? She's like, yeah, she's like picking up her wedding dress.
Yeah, my cousin was on Newberry Street and she was coming towards me. I was walking towards her and I was like, oh my gosh, Amy. And she just picked up her wedding dress from Newberry Street. And she was like, oh, where are you guys going? And I said, oh, I'm going to meet up Annie for lunch. You want to come?
Yeah.
And so she ended up joining us.
Yeah.
Of all the people in Boston, you run into your freaking cousin.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
And I remember when I looked at Janet's face.
She was like,
your cousin? And that's when I'm like, oh my effing God.
Because now we have an additional person in our group who doesn't know about the plan.
Yeah.
And Helen's like, oh, she's going to drive us. And then we're like, okay, now we also don't have control of like getting you if we need to like stall or do anything.
Yeah. So at this point, I'm texting the group, the work chat with like all the guys in. I go, oh my God, fuck. Helen's cousin just said she's joining us for lunch. And then that's when everyone, like, all mayhem is, like, happening. So I don't know what's going on your end, Phil, but we're just like we're freaking out.
No, we were freaking out too. We're like, what the fuck? On like the 11th hour, this last variable, and because she was questioning, why are you guys going there? Why don't we just hang out here?
Yeah,
and
I'm
like,
yeah.
No, get the fuck out of here.
No, there's just a part of me that was like, Annie, you should just come to Copley.
Yeah. Like, no. So somehow I'm glad, I mean, you guys convinced her to still stick with the plan.
We hop into Amy's car. Amy is like down to join us for lunch at the area where Helen's house is.
Alston, Massachusetts.
Yeah. So at this point, we're in Amy's car heading over to the restaurant, or actually the house. And that's when I got a text from Eric saying, go with the plan. We're going, moving ahead with it as nothing has happened. I was like, okay, great. Amy's now part of the plan. And then that's when we got a phone call from Annie, and the phone rings and Helen picks up.
This was planned though.
Yeah. And Annie's saying, hey, Tyler's running behind the dentist or whatever. Helen goes, okay, I'll just take him to the house. And when I heard that line, I go, we're safe.
Yeah. She herself suggested the thing that we needed to get her to do.
You guys are so lucky that I suggested.
You're so predictable is what we are. Yeah.
So predictable.
And we knew that you would want to show the back.
Yeah. At this point, we're approaching the house. And I think Amy was like, oh yeah, here's the house. And then Helen goes, no, we need to park. And I was like, yes. We need to park, because I think Amy didn't even want to go down.
She didn't want to get out.
Yeah.
Amy.
So luckily, Helen's like, oh, I think Alden was like, oh, we should go down. We want to take some photos.
We
want to walk around. We parked in front of the house. In my brain, I'm like, okay, cool. Because I knew the plan was to get Helen in the back to take that one final photo before Phil comes out. But I was like, okay, let's start the photos now. So she's not like.
So it doesn't seem strange that we were only taking it in the back of the house.
Yeah. So at this point, I'm like, oh, Amy, like, Helen, like, take a photo, whatever. And Amy's kind of like, damn, you guys take a lot of photos.
Yeah. She was like, you guys are intense.
Yeah.
Especially because Mel's like, put your hair back. Yeah. You know, stand up straight. Like, fix your shirt and all this stuff.
And part of me is like, oh, I used to work in photo. This is just natural. And at this point, we're like heading towards the back where the whole plan is going to come. Before that, I made her take a photo in front of the sign too. I was like, oh, one more photo so she won't suspect anything.
In front of Brighton Ave. Yes, yeah. That's where I grew up.
So at this point, we're kind of like heading towards the back. And the plan was, Wes said to me, Mel, make sure you stand on the left. Everyone needs to stand on the left side of Helen's shoulder because I will be in an alleyway on that side. So if you don't stand on that side, she'll see me. So we're walking towards the back. I look at Amy and I'm like, she's on the wrong side. And I'm like, shit.
Well, Mel and I looked at, because we both knew that instruction. And then so you kind of naturally headed towards Helen to guide her more to the right. And then I naturally, I don't know your cousin, but I was like, hi, Amy. I kind of like put my arm around. I was like, let's walk this way.
I remember, Mel, you grabbed my left arm. I was like, this is interesting because you don't really grab me that much.
Really?
My arm.
I did grab you.
Or you were... I guess you were, like, very giddy about it. So I was like, oh, this is cute. Oh, this makes me feel like she's excited to see my backyard.
Yeah, well, I really was. And so at this point, we're on location now. Like, I see the general area. So at this point, I'm like, let's take one more photo. And then Amy gets in the photo. I'm like, oh, no, no. I was like, it's supposed to be just Helen. But I was like, okay, let's take a quick
one more photo.
Photo
in front of my backyard. Like, yeah. The porch where my apartment was. Yeah.
Yes. So we're taking that one photo. And then as I'm taking this photo, I'm looking for the marker Wes sent me.
The chapstick.
The chapstick.
The orange chapstick that is literally like blended in with all the orange leaves. Yeah. I couldn't find it. And so I'm like, fuck it. Let me take this quick photo. And then I go, all right, great photo. Just a solo one with Helen now. Just with Helen.
And we also had to get your jacket off because you. So I was like, Helen, just take off your jacket. And
take off your purse. Yeah. Yeah. It was actually Eric's note. Like, make sure she takes off her purse.
Smart. Exactly. Yeah. So I'm trying to position you. And then I see Janet like pull Amy out. And yeah. I can tell Amy's like, what the fuck?
Yeah. Like, I was like, Amy, let's just like, stand this way. Let's go over here.
She was like, you guys are so intense. And Mel was like, move away from the gate. You're like, I mean, the whole thing is a gate. So she was like, move away from the gate a little bit. I was like, okay. Like, move to the left a little bit. I'm like, I'm still... It's like similar distance away from the gate when I moved to the left. And I was like, okay, Mel's really into it. I'll just stand wherever she wants me to go.
Yeah. Okay. I was like, this is as close as the chapstick as I can get. Mm. And I go, all right, on a count of three, say Boston. And I go, 1, 2, 3. And she goes, Boston. And that's when Phil walks out.
From behind a shed.
Yeah.
Well, Boston was the key word because I was hiding and I was trying to hear what was happening. But yeah, Boston was supposed to be the moment where I come out. But what's crazy is that even right before you guys got there, Annie and your mom got there early, and I was like, oh my god, like what if you guys walked up first, then you guys would have crossed paths and would have been like, what are you guys doing here? Yeah, they showed up and we're like, hi, get away. I felt so bad because I kind of was like freaking out. I'm like, I was maybe a little like short. I was like, you need to go away. But yeah, so finally, you know, it happened and the rest is history, I guess. But oh my god, that was a lead up.
It's funny because the whole time I'm just like, yeah. This is nice.
We just talked for almost an hour about this. Oh my god.
Yeah, this was 50 minutes.
Sorry guys. I mean, if you guys like this, it works, but
it was a really big moment and I'm so glad that everything worked out. So relieved, and you guys helped out so much, and it's so important that Helen had such close friends to help coordinate, you know, all this. So I'm so happy that, you know, we got to have that special moment.
Asian Boss Girl is brought to you by Skillshare. Skillshare is an online learning community with thousands of classes for creators, entrepreneurs, and curious people everywhere. You can take classes in marketing, where you learn how to grow your community and work with brands, or classes about how to get your podcast off the ground. So whether you're picking up a new skill for your day job, figuring out your next side project, or pursuing a longtime passion, Skillshare has classes for you.
When we first started ABG, the thought of becoming entrepreneurs never crossed our minds, but it was a role that we quickly and happily stepped into. Despite the excitement of starting a small business, we still had a lot of questions. Luckily, with Skillshare, we have access to a ton of classes focused on being an entrepreneur to help us along the way.
Join the millions of students already learning on Skillshare today with a special offer just for our listeners. Get 2 free months. That's right, Skillshare is offering Asian Boss Girl listeners 2 free months of unlimited access to thousands of classes. To sign up, go to skillshare.com/ABG. Again, go to skillshare.com/ABG to start your 2-month free trial now. That's skillshare.com/ABG.
So that was the story behind how the engagement happened. And we are all, heavy sigh of relief, especially for Phil.
Yeah.
And now you guys are formally engaged.
Yeah.
So congratulations.
Well, thank you. First off, I just want to say thank you so much for even like being part of that process. Like you two and your Wong Fu team all coming out to Boston. It's like this whole elaborate plan that I had no idea about until afterwards. Like even when you showed up. It's pretty funny because I was so out of it. So the first thing I thought after I said Boston, and then Mel, you kind of like scurried away to like open up the field for Phil to come out. You know how like you have these like very split second thoughts. I saw this like emotional man come out of a shed. If you could just imagine, like, for me, I was just like, who? Because the first thing I saw was an emotion. So I was like, there's a very sad man here. Like, I didn't even see that it was you. And this is like very, very, very short split second thought, right? And I was like, this well-dressed, sad Asian man, is he okay? And then I saw it was you. And I was like, oh my gosh, Philip's here. And I didn't connect in this like second of a thought that Mel and Janet were in on it. So I was like, oh my God, do they know that you're here? Like, how did you end up being here without them knowing? Because you guys played it off so well that I didn't know that you guys had coordinated something. So then when I saw you, I was like, is everything okay? Because you were like crying when you stepped out of the shed. You were already in tears, right? So I thought something was wrong, and you were here to tell me something was wrong.
Oh no!
And so,
oh god,
that was like maybe 2 seconds in that I had those thoughts.
Yeah.
And then as you started walking towards me, I was like, oh shit! I think this is happening. The first half of the proposal, I think I was so just focused on like what is happening, what's going on. You're here. In my mind, I was still thinking about how do I show Janet and Mel this, like, my childhood home and the stories I wanted to tell them. So in my mind, my mental was like not focused on your words at all.
Great. I'm glad to hear that.
Sorry, that's the truth though, because like at the same time you're like, oh my gosh, this is it.
It's a good thing I talked for a very long time to give you a runway to catch up.
And there was a part of me that was like, focus on the words, be present, right? And it's so hard to be present when you're so shocked. So it wasn't until, if we do release the video, people will see where I started like laughing a little bit, that I was like, oh, I'm here. It's happening right now. So I started like giggling, and I think you were probably like, what the fuck are you giggling at my words? But that's when I like snapped into it, and I started listening, and I was just like, wow, like in the moment, I got into the moment, my like voice started to quiver, and I just started to like feel all the tears and the emotions build up, and everything you said was just like super sweet.
Thank you. Well, it was a very intense moment. So, and I think the surprise was so big that it makes sense that you were just almost like disoriented.
Yeah. I was so like, disoriented.
Yeah, like you were knocked out for a second.
I honestly thought I had like a concussion, or like I went to like sleep and I passed out, and it was like a dream. Because when you walked out, I was just like, what the fuck? Yeah.
The aftermath, I think, it was just such a great weekend also. Like we purposely just told everyone, hey, let's just enjoy the moment. We didn't post anything on social, you know, the whole weekend, and we had some great parties and hanging out with friends. All your like high school friends,
everyone
came back
from home.
From home.
That was really
nice. And Mel was like, what are we posting?
Obviously working marketing and social is just like, I want to make sure you guys are okay and you guys are priority and like feel safe, because I feel like this is huge news just for anyone to know and share.
And on that note, actually, you know, the announcement itself, I'm shocked. I was honestly shocked how many people cared. I thought it would be like, oh, like, you know, some social media engagement, whatever, but like I can't believe that it was like news on like Subtle Asian Traits and like blogs and stuff. And we got, I've never gotten so many DMs from like fans who just saw the engagement as like almost like they're proud of like a family member, you know, like, and it kind of reminded me like how long Wong Fu's been doing stuff and been part of their lives. And now that they feel connected to see us take that next step, I was like, it was a really, really sweet reminder. And I'm really, really grateful to everyone who took the time to say some kind words and make us feel so appreciated, I guess.
And thank you for sharing your special moment with all of us.
Yeah.
For me, now I'm a little bit older and I've seen a lot of friends go through engagement and marriage, and I've never been so close to an engagement. And when I saw Phil walk out of the shed and he was like quiver, I was like, oh man. And, and I couldn't, just like looking at the two of you, we couldn't even really hear what you were saying, but I was moved because I'm like, these are two people that I care about and I can see such a big moment in their life. So yeah, thank you for sharing that with us too.
Yeah, I totally agree. Because I remember I looked at Janet and I was like,
I saw her look at me and then I was crying. She's like, don't do it.
Because I know when she, I was actually holding in my tears. Like Janet, this is the first engagement I've ever been a part of. But it's just like, plus she was like two of my closest friends. Like that's so rare. And she started crying. And I'm just like, I'm going to cry now.
When it was over and I looked back, Mel was like, all her makeup was gone off. I was like, whoa, what was going on back here?
Like when I looked at you, I was like, your face was like a tomato.
Was I proposing to you?
I just think I felt so many like emotions in that moment. I was so happy for both of you. And also seeing you guys go through so much with this relationship, it's just like, they did it. And then I think for me, I was telling you guys 2 nights ago about like, it just kind of like hit me that I've been a Wong Fu fan since I was 16. So when Phil was saying like, I'm so overwhelmed with all these like supportive messages, I kind of felt like it was the first time I was brought back as a fan, mm-hmm. as that 16-year-old person that watched Wong Fu from the beginning. And for me to see you, you know, finally find that, like, that person that you're writing about all these years and all this stuff, and your struggle and your journey with love, to find someone that I know who is a great fit for you and someone I truly admire and adore, it just, like, it makes me even more emotional, because mm-hmm. it's just like, I'm not only supporting you as a fan, but supporting you as a friend of you and also a huge friend of Helen. So I'm just like, it was a huge,
that's
a huge
thing. Mm. Yeah. Bridesmaid's speech is already going on right here.
Oh, you recorded it, so you can remember what you said. Yeah.
I'll just play. So, does that mean I'm a bridesmaid?
Yeah. No, that's beautiful. Like, both of you, thank you. Yeah. And like, and actually, yeah, people that are being so welcoming to Helen, and the people saying, my favorite podcasters and my favorite, you know, YouTubers, like, it's cool.
It's cool. Like what you just said, though, Mel, it's kind of cool that, like, everyone's grown up with you, Philip, like, throughout your whole love journey. It was, you literally put it out on display for everyone to see. All of your, like, emotional turmoil and everything that you've been through, and now it ended up here. It's pretty cool,
which we can talk about next episode.
Yes.
This was a long one. Sorry everyone, if you had no interest in this whatsoever. This does not have anything to do with your corporate life.
They're like, we came here for poops and periods. Yeah.
No, this is great. We got in all the juicy details, and then we'll do in a follow-up episode a deeper dive into kind of the personal and emotional journey that you guys both went through to get to this point.
And for what's to come after the announcement of the engagement.
Let the wedding planning begin.
Like, who are the bridesmaids?
I guess this event is worthy of a two-parter for the ABG podcast. So thank you. I appreciate that.
Thank you, ladies. So this wraps up our episode today. You guys can find us on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Overcast, all of the podcasting platforms, ABG/AsianBossGirl. Give us a rating or a review.
If you guys enjoy this episode, please leave a comment on our latest Instagram post with the engagement ring to show us that you've listened and enjoyed it.
Thank you for following us on this journey, and we will catch you on the next episode.
Bye!
Bye!